Hi, my name is Eliane Goldstein, and you're listening to The Effect on Us.
But I remember being on the street in the morning watching the German tanks coming into Budapest and occupying every area.
I was born in a camp. My mother was having, during her pregnancy, to work underground in digging coal. They were prisoners.
My father gave me a blessing. And on Shabbat, we came home from the synagogue. My father would bless all the children. He told me that if I manage to survive, we need to tell the world what happened. And he said, go.
The Effect on Us is a podcast for people of all ages to learn about the Holocaust and the events that took place during that time. My goal is to reach as many people as I can all over the world and help educate them about the tragedy that took place during that time and the effect the Holocaust had on people from Generation 1 to Generation 3. I started this project in April 2021, just before my 13th birthday, and so far, I've interviewed survivors on 4 different continents. Join me on my mission to make the world a better place. Did you know that the word Holocaust means a thorough destruction involving extensive loss of life, especially through fire? In this episode, I'm talking to Marlene, who tells me about how she and her family ran away from home.
My name is Marlene Listwa, L-I-S-T-W-A.
When were you born?
Well, we don't know the exact date, but I have a birthday of September 15, 1932.
So how old do you think that makes you now?
Now I'm about 91.
Where were you born?
In Poland.
So can you tell me about your family?
Yes, I had a mother, a father, 2 sisters, and a brother. I was the youngest.
And what was it like growing up with them?
I guess normal. I have no idea. I was a child.
Do you remember life before the war?
Well, some of it, yes.
Can you tell me about that?
What, for instance, would you like to know?
Were you guys practicing? You know, did you ever get to go to school? Stuff like that?
I never went to school in my life.
Did your siblings?
My sibling, yes.
Did you want to?
Did I want to? I was too young. I didn't know any different.
Right. Did you guys practice religion?
I guess so. And in Poland, everybody was showing the Shabbos.
Yeah. So how did your life become different once the war started?
I saw it that way it's supposed to be. I didn't know any different. I was 6 years old. I didn't know any different. I thought that's the way it's supposed to be.
Did you feel that something was wrong?
Well, I know we were running. I know the sirens went off and we had to run. It was, of course, different. It was on the Shabbos, on a Saturday.
Can you tell me what the running was like?
Well, my mother had all 4 of us. My father was away in the synagogue. So she held on to me because I was the youngest, one hand. And then the other, she had the other siblings.
Do you remember what was going on around you or why exactly you guys chose that day to run?
Because the siren went off and we were told, I guess, I don't know, that when the siren goes off, you have to hide.
What was the siren for?
The siren was the plane were coming in. The German planes were coming in. But of course, I didn't know what a plane is.
So while you were running, where did you stop? Where did you go?
Well, we tried to run where the fire wasn't, because there was fire already burning. They're throwing bombs in the factory from flour. And that was in Zamość, where we lived. And we didn't want to run there because there was fire. We wanted to run somewhere else. I guess my mother tried to take us somewhere else. But there was, to me, I was very little. I was 6 years old. Was this big, big guy, and he had like a stick in his hands, and he was shoving us to run to the fire. We had no choice. We had to go. And meanwhile, he protected us because he knew with this fire, they're not going to throw bombs anymore and we'll be safe. But we, of course, didn't know that.
Who was that man?
I have no idea.
You never saw him again?
Oh, no.
So what did you do after that day?
Well, we were running till, I guess, my mother knew there was an orchard. So we ran to the orchard and we went in under the gate and we lay there in the orchard, and the apple orchard.
Were you able to understand what was going on? Were you
not really, no.
You didn't know that you were in danger?
Didn't penetrate.
Yeah. So
I know it never happened before. But
yeah. So what happened after that?
Well, we were there for quite a long time. And my father wasn't with us. I told you he went to the synagogue. And there was no radios, no nothing. But one of his friends from the synagogue had a radio. I mean, we knew about it later. That he went there to listen what's going on. And that there were like 20 of them or more. And a bomb went into that place. And he was always on the bottom. So all the people fell on top of him. And he survived.
Did you ever see him after that?
Yes, he, after that, I mean, he was wounded. He went home to the house where we lived, to the apartment where we lived. And the neighbors told him that they saw us run away. And I also lost a shoe because my mother didn't let me stop. And there was glass all over on the floor. And I cut my foot and there was blood as we were running. And they said that I maybe got killed or something. And I lost my coat. And that's what they told them. And they told them which directions we ran. So he came at night. We saw him walking and limping towards us.
So what happened after that? Where did you go?
After that, we were still laying there. And my father and mother went home to the apartment where we lived. And they told us to stay there to get some stuff from the house for us because it was nighttime and we had no coat, no shoe, no nothing. So when they went into the apartment, all the windows were broken from the bombs. And I guess maybe they covered them with blankets or not. I don't know. And then they came back. And then I remember from there, my father took us to some kind of a farm. My father was a tailor, and he used to sew clothes for those Polish people, farmers. And he went there, and they took us in.
At that point, did you understand that you might not ever go back home?
No.
What did you think was happening?
I had no idea. I don't know if I even was thinking.
So what was it like, I assume, living with the tailor?
I don't know for how long we were there, but according to the time and everything, I think it was Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, one of the other holidays that we stayed there, because they even made my mother light candles, and there was a picture of the Holy Mother. So they covered the picture and let my mother light candles. So it must have been some kind of a holiday. I don't know.
Where did you guys sleep?
Wherever on the floor, wherever we could, because those people had children too, the farmers.
Were you able to play with the children?
Don't remember. Now, later on, my brother found those children, and they say they only remembered that some people were in the house. They didn't know if we were Jewish or not, or whatever.
Right. So how long did you stay with them?
I have no idea, but probably a couple of weeks.
And after that?
Because again, planes came and they started throwing bombs there in that village. And those people hided us on the field behind cabbage leaves. They covered us with cabbage leaves that the plane shouldn't see there's people there. They should think it's a farm.
So where did you go after that?
Where did we go after that? After that, when it quieted down and the Germans came into our town, we went back home. And we stayed home. I guess they must have fixed the windows or did something, whatever. That's as far as I remember. And then after, I don't know, 2 weeks or whatever, the Russians came in. And my father and my oldest sister, which she was like 16, they went with the Russians back to Russia. And my father said, he'll get a job there, and then he'll bring us out. We didn't know that the Germans are going to come back. So my mother was left with 3 children. And in Europe, we had no money or bank accounts or nothing like that. Whatever you made the day that you went to shop, and that's what you ate. So my mother and my other sister went to try and make some money. to get some food for us. And she worked as a cleaning lady, and they went to sell to the Germans. They went to the bakery at night and bought stuff and took it to the Germans, to the Gestapo. And my sister had black hair. We were all blonde with blue eyes, except she had black hair. So my mother put on a kerchief on her. They shouldn't see that she's Jewish. And me and my brother were stuck in the apartment by ourselves, and they told us never to open a door to nobody.
Did anything happen while they were away?
No. We were just locked in between two doors. We were hidden like.
Right. And how old were you at this point?
I was still six. It was still the same month. It was September, I guess.
Yeah. This was all within the same month. So how did the rest of the war play out?
Well, I told you my father and my sister went to work. My older sister was afraid to stay with the Germans, and she started crying. I remember her crying by the truck when he went in to go to Russia. And she said she wants to go too. So she went with him. And we were stuck there. And my mother, like I said, had to make some money for us to eat, to live. And my older sister came back. There was a group of people to bring some people out because they saw the Germans started already to do to the Jews, which, of course, I didn't understand any of it, you know. And they made another organization. And I remember before they put on the yellow patches on us, that night we escaped. We went through the border at night. And the dogs were howling because the Germans staying by the border with dogs. And they were throwing flares because they know people are trying to escape. And when they saw somebody, they shot right in front of us. People were dying, you know. But thank God we made it. We made it to the other side, which now I think is Ukraine. At that time, everything was Russia. There was no Ukraine. It was USSR, what they called themselves. And we escaped. And my father was waiting. I remember it was raining very hard, and he was waiting for us. And he took us to that place, to some cousin where he used to work, and we all slept on the floor, I remember.
At this point, did you finally start to realize that something was wrong?
Yeah, I guess so, because it wasn't normal. I wasn't home.
Yeah. Do you think that your parents went to great lengths to hide that something was happening?
Of course they tried to save us all, you know, and they knew what was going on. My father listened to the radio.
Yeah. So what was life like now, being in a new country?
Well, we had to hide again, because when we came in the other side, the Russian wanted us to become a Russian citizen. And my father didn't want to become a Russian citizen. He figured a few days, a few months, the war is going to be over, and we'll be by the border, and we'll go right back to Poland. But those people that they didn't want to become citizen, they put on trucks and sent them to Siberia. And my father made sure we were hiding. They cannot find us. Like, I remember he rented like some kind of a store, which was all empty already. And he made shelves on top, and that's where we slept. So even if they looked in, they couldn't see us. But then we were the only ones left, and we were afraid to go out to do anything. So we gave ourselves up. And that's when they sent us to Siberia.
What was Siberia like?
Cold. A lot of snow.
Were you guys in a work camp?
I don't know if it's a camp or not, because we were not the only ones. There was a lot of people in a big hole, I remember. And then they gave us, everybody had to work except me. I was too young. Even my brother, which is 3 years older, he worked too. But over there, you worked at night. You had to shuffle the snow so the trucks could go in the morning through. So everybody worked except me. I was left alone. They gave us like a little, wasn't something like an igloo to live in. You know, and I don't know how long we were there, because they told us like around March, the snow starts to melt and you can't go nowhere.
What did you do during the day?
I don't remember.
What do you remember?
Nothing, actually. Nothing.
Has anyone told you what had happened?
No.
After? No?
My parents didn't have any time to talk to me. They were concerned more about food, to save every piece of food, whatever they can. And they gave us some black bread, and my mother was cutting it and collecting the crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
She had the crumbs too.
Yeah. So how long did you stay there for?
I told you not long, because like I said, in March, they said the waters, which we saw already, the lake rising, and my mother had to carry me on her shoulder because the water reached too high for me to walk.
Where did you go after that?
All I remember is we were in Russia, and I got the measles there. I remember that. And I remember that I had a friend, and I got the measles from her, but she died. And then from there, I remember we tried to go more into Russia, more closer to Poland, you know. And we went to Uzbekistan. I don't know if you know where it is. And over there, we stood, I think, about 5 years. Not us alone. We were always in groups.
What did you guys do there?
Everything we could to be able to eat, to have, you know, some kind of nourishment. But there were trees of fruit which used to fall in the water, so we used to take it out and eat. And we used to eat grass. We used to go out before the cows go out and collected the grass. My mother used to cook it.
So at a time where you finally were able to eat real food, what was that like for you?
I thought that's the way it's supposed to be. I didn't know any different.
When did you leave Uzbekistan?
I know we came to Germany in 1945, and we left like in 39.
Right.
So we came back to Germany in 1945, and they put us in a DP camp.
Yeah. Did everyone in your family survive?
We all survived, all of us.
Did you come in contact with other members of your extended family ever?
No.
So how is life different in a displaced persons camp than it was in Uzbekistan or Siberia?
Well, we got like more food from the UNRWA. There was an organization, United States, that gave us, you know, like powdered eggs and other things. So like we had a little more food. And then my father worked, my sisters worked, and they got also rations, more rations. And certain rations my mother sold so we could buy some food.
And how long did you stay in the camp for?
In the camp, but close to 5 years too, before they let us into United States. That's where we wanted to come, because my mother had a sister and a brother here. And we had papers to come before the war, but the war broke out, so we couldn't.
When did you move to the States?
I beg your pardon?
When did you move to the States?
In 1949.
And what was that like for you? Were you happy?
Of course, I finally came to my aunt, and there was food. There was fruit on the table. I couldn't believe my eyes.
And, you know, what was different about your life there than it was in the camp?
Well, in the camps, we had nothing to do, you know. And when I came to the United States, I was 16 years old. I had to go to work. My father went to work. My brother went to work. My older two sisters got married in Germany, so they were not with us. They were still on the other side. No. And I had to go to work. I couldn't go to school. I wanted to go to school, but I couldn't.
So what did you do instead of going to school?
I went to work in a factory.
Doing what?
Anything they gave me to do. Putting loops together, anything, whatever they did.
I heard that your husband recently passed away and that he was also a survivor.
Correct.
Would you mind telling a little bit about his story?
Well, he was in Auschwitz.
Right.
You know, and he was 6 years older than me, so he went to school. And he understood more
mm-hmm.
than I did. And he went to work at the Germans.
How did you guys meet?
Here in the United States.
How?
On the beach.
That's lovely. So why did you decide to start telling your story?
I didn't decide. Somebody called me. My son told me somebody's going to interview us, and I didn't care.
And this is the first time that you've ever told?
No. I think, you know, we went to the March of Living.
Oh, what was that like?
In 2012.
What was that like for you?
I was proud of doing what I was doing because I went to Auschwitz. I went to the guest chambers. I went all over because I wasn't there, but my husband was. He couldn't even go into the guest chamber.
Was he with you on the March of the Living?
Oh, sure. We went together and I took my daughter, my granddaughter with me.
What was that experience like for you? Going to the place where, you know, your husband survived?
Well, he even showed me the bunk where he slept.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they had bunks. And he had to lay all the way on the bottom on the floor because he was a Jew. He was in a barrack with all nationalities. So then lay all the way on the bottom. So we even have somewhere a picture us sitting in front of that block, that place where he stayed. He worked in the coal mine.
Right. Why do you think it's important to continue telling your story today?
Well, the children should know that things can happen, and we cannot let it happen again to us. And thank God we have an Israel and we have an army. Every time I go to Israel and I see those soldiers, I have to cry. Because when the war was there, I didn't understand anything. But now I'm much older. I understand, even though I didn't go to school. But I understand what's going on.
Yeah. So if there's a message that you want to give to the future generation, what would it be?
Don't let it happen again. Don't let it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the most important thing, because we could have been 6 million more.
Mm-hmm.
God knows what kind of talent we had.
Yeah.
What we could have accomplished in the world, but what we're doing now, unbelievable what Israel's doing.
Yeah. They're providing a home for people that need it. You know that I was supposed to interview your husband.
I know.
But he didn't have the strength to.
Anymore. He went to high schools and he taught them.
Yeah.
He told them his story. He told them he had his number, you know. And he was taken out from his home at 13 and never saw his parents again or his sisters.
Yeah. And
were you
able to see the impact that he had on the students if they would send him back letters or something?
No, I didn't go with him to classes, you know. But I guess I know the ones we went on the March of Living, we had 72 kids with us. And each and every one, they called us Bobby and Zaidi. And they were very thankful for us going with them because we were on the railroad in Auschwitz. And we said Kaddish after the dead there in the cemetery and lodge, you know. So.
Yeah, this summer we went to Poland. We went to Poland to visit where we came from, where like my family came from. And we went to the Warsaw Jewish Cemetery, where we discovered that day is where my dad's great-grandfather was buried. So we found the mass grave and we said Kaddish there.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful feeling that you can do that, you know.
Yeah, and also my dad's mother's sister was also buried there. We think that she was buried there, and it was really life-changing, I think. Yeah.
And then my husband went again. My husband went again with my son in 2014. He went again. You know, and my nephew went with them. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't go anymore. I couldn't face it. I said, I did what I could, but now I couldn't face it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hot. I mean, you can listen to stories, but then when you get there and you see everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's different. It's different. Because I didn't know much. I didn't, you know, even in Germany, when they showed us pictures from all the corpses and everything, we couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything that you would like to add before we wrap up?
Well, like I said, my husband always used to say, come Israel high, you know. And
yeah,
we are very proud of our nation and what it's doing and trying to fix the world. Wherever there's a disaster, they are first there to help. Because mm-hmm. nobody wanted to help us. Nobody.
Yeah. Thank you so much for today.
You're quite welcome. It was nice meeting you.
Join me next time when I talk to Joe Sabrin, who tells me about his journey during and after the Holocaust. If you like this episode, please like and subscribe and tell your friends. This is Eliane Goldstein. Tune in next time to The Effect on Us. And remember, history will not repeat itself. Bye!